track our times. Everybody's walking about there, you know. We got these slips to file, you know, fill out discrepancies on what they call, you know, it's a clever device. But
we're in Philippians chapter 3.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I love your hair.
What?
Your hair. Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh.
Morning, Dave.
Morning, Dwayne. How are you, sir? All right. We are in Philippians chapter 3. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this book of Philippians that teaches us the importance of our growing and pressing forward toward that mark that you've set before us and that you have brought us to. We thank you, Father, for that completion, that perfection that is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you've revealed these things to us. And Lord, that as we go through our day, you continue to reveal these things that we've learned to our minds, to our hearts, that we might apply them in our lives. And we pray that, as you always are, that you would be faithful to be our teacher through the service this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. We are set up for a wedding here today. We've got a big, wide center aisle. Everything's pushed off to the side. Philippians chapter 3. Let's read, beginning in verse 15, and we'll read down through. Philippians 3:15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. All right, so we have gotten down this far now in our study in Philippians, and Paul begins verse 15 with, let us therefore. So everything that we've been seeing up until now, we won't go back over, but obviously coming into this passage now, these last handful of verses, we need to have all of those things that Paul's been talking about in mind. That righteousness of God, which is ours by faith, as opposed to our own righteousness. And then having that understanding, having received that perfection, that fullness from God, to have that as our goal and to press toward that. It's kind of a two-step process. Number one, first we need to understand, we need to learn the things that have been freely given to us of God. If you don't know those things, you can't press toward them. But secondly then, knowing them, we need to press toward that mark. It's not enough just to fill our heads full of doctrine and full of knowledge. That's the intent of that information, is to work and to produce fruit in our life. So Paul says, because of all that I've said up until this point, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now, one of those things that Paul said, and you recall we've compared these verses already, about being perfect is he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. And Paul makes a point of saying and making clear that he has not attained to this perfection, and neither have these Philippian saints, and they won't as long as they're carrying this old nature, this old sinful body around with them. But then, having made that point, now he's saying, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now that idea of being perfect there, he's been talking about in the passage. That's that righteousness of God, which is by faith, as opposed to our own righteousness, which is very imperfect. That's why Paul says, I gave the other stuff up in exchange for this, because this is complete. And that idea of perfect here in this passage carries that idea. Come over to Colossians chapter 2, probably just a page or so over for you to the right. Colossians chapter 2, we've considered this verse, and it'll give us the idea of one of the ways the Bible uses that term perfect. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that idea of fullness is that perfection. It's the idea of completion. Nothing lacking. There's in Christ, no element of the Godhead is missing. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then he says in verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. So you get the idea there. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. And those words compare. The idea is you fill up a glass of water to the brim. You can't put any more in it. There's nothing, you can't add anything. So that's that idea of completion, of perfection. And that's the idea that it carries there in Philippians in chapter 3. Also, the idea has to do with maturity. If you look back here in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So that idea of perfection there has to do with coming to maturity, with pressing toward that mark, with growing in this Christian life. Come back a few pages to your left to Ephesians and chapter 4. And really, kind of all the ways that this word is used, you get out of that statement there in Philippians 3, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Are you perfect this morning? Say, well, yes and no. Well, here's the thing. Let as many of us as be perfect be thus minded. So are you perfect this morning? Yes, we are. That's the way we're minded. Okay? That's what Paul's been telling us this whole time. You're perfect. Now be minded that way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there you see those ideas coming together again. And here Paul's talking about those spiritual gifts that God gave to the early church. And he says those things are given until... until what? Until we all come into the unity of the faith to a perfect man. Well, people say, well, again, you know, we're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. That's when we'll all come to the unity of faith. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about, well, look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him which is the head, even Christ. See, that unity of the faith and that perfect man is as opposed to being children. Now, we're not waiting until we get to heaven to stop being children, right? That idea is maturity, coming to the fullness of understanding, the unity of the faith. He just told you what the unity of the faith is back earlier in the chapter. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's that? There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. See, those are the things that we come to understand when we get perfected. The issues about the one body, and that there's one baptism, and that we're all together in that by one Spirit, and we all serve one Lord, and so forth. Those are the things that bind us in that perfection. You see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 13. Come there. That idea in that passage is that these gifts, apostles and prophets and so forth, including pastors and teachers and evangelists, are there until that knowledge is complete and we come to the unity of the faith. You and I have done that. That's why Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. We've come to that understanding. Someone says, well, I didn't come to that understanding 20 years ago. I just came to it a year ago or 6 months ago. Well, okay, good. You came to it 6 months ago. What you doing with it? Doesn't take forever to be perfect. Not in the sense that we're talking about here. Mature. Get the understanding, but don't just get the understanding. Start minding that understanding. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Keep that doctrine and that understanding in your mind, and let it affect the way you live. Make your decisions based on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. See, that's the opposite of perfection. In part. That's not full. It's not complete. It's partial. This is when Paul wrote this letter. The revelation wasn't full yet. But when that which is, you notice how he says we know in part, and we prophesy in part. He's including himself in that. You get over into Philippians chapter 3, And what does he say? Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So Paul is coming along with the saints together here in this thing. Of course, he's out front because the Lord's given it to him first. And he's working with it. And then they're called to follow him. So we've got all this partial knowledge when 1 Corinthians is written, and partial prophecy, that is the Word of God, is being given imperfectly. But when that which is perfect is come, verse 10, then that which is in part shall be done away. So there again, we're looking for perfection here. And that partial stuff goes away. And again, people look at this and they say, well, when that which is perfect is coming, is in heaven. But you look in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's the idea of that which is perfect is come. In all of these places. Now, obviously, involved with that, as we can see in all of these verses, and we just looked in Colossians there, when Paul says we're warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, that's coming off the heels of this mystery, this dispensation that was given me for you, Word, to fulfill the Word of God. There again, to fulfill, to perfect, to complete the Word of God. And God's made known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, to present them perfect. That idea of dispensational truth can't be separated from these things. It just can't. It's here. It's everywhere where you see this idea of perfection. Come back to the book of Acts, chapter 18. Even in the practical application of it, we've been seeing in Philippians chapter 3. Paul takes that dispensational truth that he knows and he applies it to his life. He says, here's what I'm doing. Forgetting those things that are behind. Reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark. So I've got a time past in my life, I've got ages to come in my life, and I've got a but now in my life. And all of those things, the understanding of those things, the way that God operates is the way that I need to operate. God's got a time past, a but now, in ages to come. And that's how He works. That's how my life needs to go too. We've been talking about that. So you can't separate these things. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So there's a lot of good stuff there, that passage. When you get introduced to Apollos, boy, that's a grand introduction right there. You think, well, if any man's close to perfect, this is the guy right here. Look at all that good stuff it says about him. Except at the end there, where it says, knowing only the baptism of John. So here you are now in Acts chapter 18. You're years into Paul's ministry and the revelation that was given to him. So along comes this Apollos guy, and he's hanging back here in time past. That's all he knows. He's preaching it. He's walking. He's working according to what he's got. But he doesn't got what God has given up to this point. So what happens? Verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, their companions of Paul, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. See? Bring them along. Bring them along to perfection. Get them out of that old stuff and bring them up to speed. That's perfection. Look back in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. That's why Paul could say to those Corinthians, I planted and Apollos watered. And he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Because after Aquila and Priscilla showed unto him the way of God more perfectly, he immediately leaves there and he goes to Corinth. And he starts teaching the saints that Paul had founded the churches there. Apollos goes in there and he's able to water what Paul had planted because he's been brought along to perfection. He's able to expound to them the way of God more perfectly the way Paul did. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, to Christ, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? As if he could choose. And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So there's something still lacking. He's not perfect. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. See what the Lord is doing here. Is now this guy, he doesn't like that part. He's okay. See, the Lord tells him, he says, What should I do that I might inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, Keep the law. Keep the commandments. Guy says, I've got all of that. What am I missing yet? So what does the Lord do? He brings him to perfection, and he brings him into that kingdom program. Come over to take a look at Luke chapter 12. People say, Well, he told he was a rich guy who was covetous, and the Lord knew that. So he picked out that thing that he knew that guy wouldn't go along with, and he told him, go and sell all your stuff. So the guy went away sad, and he didn't want to do that because he had great possessions. Well, the Lord did manifest that in that man and to that man. But he didn't just tell him to do that because he was rich and covetous. That was the program. What the Lord is doing is bringing him from the law to perfection, into that kingdom program. You want in eternal life in that kingdom? You got to sell your stuff. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather, now this is after the Lord says, consider the ravens and take no thought for tomorrow and so forth. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a part of that kingdom program. You got to sell yourself. You go into the early chapters of the book of Acts and you see them doing exactly that. Whoever had houses or lands, sold them, laid the money at the apostles' feet. So Jesus tells that guy who's got the law and still lacking something, he says, you want to be perfect? Come on along into the full revelation. Keep up with what God's doing. Get into this kingdom program. So Paul, back in our passage in Philippians chapter 3, all of those ideas there are applicable to this passage here in this verse, in this statement in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And the immediate context and what Paul is telling us to be minded about is that perfect righteousness, that fullness, that completeness, that first idea that we saw. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. So keep that in our thinking and in our mind. And if you do that, if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So now we're starting to see how this progression and how this pressing and how this following after and how this moving forward works. Paul says, here's what you do. You're perfect. Be thus minded. Okay? Understand what God has done for you, who God has made you to be in Christ, that you lack nothing. You come behind in nothing in Christ. That's where our mind is, Paul says. Don't put your mind on earthly things. Get your affections up in the heaven. That's where your life is. It's hid with Christ in God. Put your affections there. So our mind is there. And that's... We call that to mind every time the Holy Spirit reminds us to do that as we walk through our day. Paul says, if you do that, we that are perfect, be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So now here's what's happening. I've got this kind of general understanding. God tells me I'm perfect in Christ. I'm really not sure what that means. I'm really not sure how that applies to the details of my life. But I know that's what He says. So I get that. And I believe that. I don't understand it completely, but I believe it. And I apprehend that. And I walk in that understanding. Now, what God will do is if in anything, all of these pieces and details of your life, all the ways that this grace applies, in the details of your life, God will start bringing those things to your mind. And He'll say, here, this is where it applies. This is where you put that to work. You have, you find yourself having an attitude towards someone that you ought not have, and the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder with the Scripture, right? With your understanding of the Scripture. Amen. And says, here's what you're doing, here's what the Word says, that doesn't match, that doesn't click, right? Who are you? You're perfect in Christ. This is not how a person who's perfect in Christ operates. So in all of these, see what you're doing, taking that attitude, is you're being otherwise minded. You're not, as many as us are perfect, I'll spit that out in a second, to be thus minded. Well, here's an area of your life where you're not being thus minded. So if you have that understanding to start with, and you're walking in that understanding to your own maximum ability as the Holy, and your own sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as He reminds you of that through the day, God will reveal that in the details of your life how to apply that truth. See, I can't teach you how to do that. Paul says, and that's really what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I'm giving you the doctrine. I'm bringing you to perfection. I'm giving you that truth that God has given me. So you're up to speed with what God is doing. Now, God will reveal to you how to apply that truth to the details of your life so that if in anything thing you be otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you. how that truth applies to the details of your life. So, if you're saying to yourself, you know, man, this grace stuff, you know, I'm working, but I'm not working. I got to press, but I'm not supposed to give effort, because if it's my effort, it's the flesh. And and people have, you know, trouble understanding how this works. Listen, get the truth. Understand who God has made you to be in Christ. Believe it. And let God apply it to the details of your life. Okay? That's how this works. So Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Come back with me to Galatians chapter 5. That idea of God shall reveal even this unto you. I know we know, and we always say, and I'll say it again just in case, and I know we're all aware because we're all perfect, right? God shall reveal this unto you. That doesn't mean that you're hearing voices. I hope you're not hearing voices. That doesn't mean that God is telling you anything that you don't already have from the Scripture. Okay, the way that God speaks to us today is through His Word, right? God's not telling you anything that's not in this book. If you get something that's not Scripture, don't say that that's from God. Okay? The Holy Spirit, God reveals things to us through His Word. So here's what you want to do. You want to have that Word dwelling in you richly, to give the Holy Spirit something to work with as you're walking through your day in the details of your life. So that you have that verse of Scripture in your mind and in your understanding when it comes time for the Holy Spirit to say, hey, here's where that applies. He's not going to give you a verse you never read before and tell you, here's what you do about this. The Word of Christ needs to be dwelling in us richly. That means it's producing. It's profitable. The Holy Spirit's got something to work with. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See, these Galatians, we know what their problem is. They're going to be perfected by the flesh. He tells them back in chapter 3, you're so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're going to be trying to be made perfect by the flesh. So Paul's trying to bring them, drag them. He says, I'm travailing in birth again with you people to until you be conformed to the image of Christ. So he's bringing them to perfection. And he says, okay, now I brought you back here. I gave you this when I was there, and you fell back. So now I brought you back here, so stand fast in it now. Don't go sliding back again. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So you got this liberty. Stand fast in it. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So if you want Christ to be of effect in your life, this is how it happens. Coming to perfection, into the understanding and the application of the grace of God. Don't want to be falling back under that, under the old program that God isn't doing anymore, because the power of God is not in what God's not doing anymore. The power of God is in what God's doing now. You're fallen from grace. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We've talked about that. For in Christ Jesus, that's where we are, Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Paul's been talking about following after, pressing toward the mark. He's talking about that race. He's got that finish line in view. These Galatians were running that race. He said, you did run well, but somebody's hindered you. And they hindered you by convincing you that you need something more than the grace of God. That you need something more than your position in Christ. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be, what? None otherwise minded. That's what we're talking about. If ye in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. God is revealing even that unto these Galatians. And how's He doing it? He's doing it through Paul, writing to them. Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what Paul's giving them here. That's what the Scripture gives you. That's how you come to this. If you're otherwise minded, you can be set straight, me and you. But the he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So, and he goes on to tell them, okay, now that you've got that liberty and you're standing fast in it, don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So get the doctrine first, stand fast, get rooted and grounded in that, and then walk in it. Don't just say, okay, well, I've got this understanding. I'm perfect in Christ. I can, you know, I'm just going to go out and do whatever I want now. Get the liberty first. Get fast, solid in that liberty. And then use that liberty to serve in love. Faith works by love, Paul says there. And he goes on, drop to the end of this passage. He talks about everything we've been talking about. Verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And those two natures that we've been talking about, fighting against each other. He says, so walk in the Spirit. And he talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that there's that same idea again. We live in the Spirit. If you're a Christian this morning, you put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as payment for your sin, and you are saved, you live in the Spirit. You don't live in the flesh. You say, well, you don't know what I do. It's got nothing to do with what you do. You live in the Spirit. So now, walk in the Spirit. Walk, let your walk reflect your life. That's what Paul has been telling us all through Philippians chapter 3. Come over to Colossians, because this is actually leading us. I did want to do two verses in Philippians 3, and we actually are doing that. Because the next verse, verse 16, we're going to Colossians. You know what? I'm sorry. Make it Ephesians chapter 5. I sent you too far. You didn't have to go that far. Ephesians chapter 5. The next verse in Philippians 3 says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So here's what he says. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. You've already got. You don't lack anything. Be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, anything in your life that's not in line with that, God will begin to show that to you if you have that understanding and walk in it to start with. Nevertheless, even though you've already got that perfection. And even though you've got all of these things in your life that may not yet be in line with that, nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained. How far have you gotten so far? How much do you grasp so far? There's so much I don't understand about that. That's okay. How much do you have? You've got some, right? Whereto we have already attained, walk by that rule. Don't understand doctrine that you're not living by now. You get the doctrine to walk according to it. So, we've got all of these things in our life that the Lord is working on. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. This is going to go on throughout our life, God revealing these things to us in our life that are not in line with that perfection. But we've got what we've got. So now, walk by that rule. Walk in the light that you have. Don't have understanding that you're not living according to. That is, don't say to yourself, yeah, I know, you know, that's what the Word of God says, but I'm going to go and do this. Or I know that I'm supposed to that I'm seated at the right hand of God and I'm supposed to take my position in Christ, but I don't feel like doing that right now. I'm angry and I want to stay angry. Whereto you have already attained, you walk by that rule. Walk by the... What was Apollos doing? He didn't have everything, but he was walking by what he had. And what happened? Those places where he lacked, God revealed that to him. Right? Walk according to what you have already attained, and the Lord will give you more. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. So we got a time, past, and a but now in our life, right? Your light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Same idea he just told the Galatians. You live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You are children of light, therefore walk as children of light. Again, he tells, and I give you this one all the time, he tells the Galatians, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He tells the Romans, wherefore put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've already put on Christ, that's your perfection. So now do it in your life and in your walk. You live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You are children of light, walk as children of light. All of those things, see, all of that is walking in your identity. Walking in who God has made you to be in your understanding of it. And that whole kind of idea of that little place right there in Philippians chapter 3. He's been talking about all of this perfection. Those couple of verses there, the idea is that kind of, we're not perfect, but we're advancing. And everyone's at their own place in this spiritual walk. Everyone, you know, some folks are just starting out. Some folks think, you know, I should be farther along than I am. Some folks have, you know, been at it for a while, but still got plenty to go. And all of that, but the idea there in these little couple of verses that we're considering here is, take what you've got. Now, start there. If you do that, God will bring you along. Don't worry about everything you don't have. You're complete. You're not lacking anything. Be thus minded, and God will fill in the rest as you go. Until you draw your last breath, He'll keep doing that. We're done. Do you have a question or a comment? Yeah, Beth.
Did Paul receive more revelation as he was going along, or was everything that he learned right in the beginning when that was?
It was a series of revelations that he got. Yeah, the
throughout his letters, he's growing also.
Absolutely. By the time you get to beyond the book of Acts, which is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, a couple of the pastoral epistles, the revelation is complete. He's got it. What is incomplete still is that it's not written down yet. So until Paul's epistles are done, you've still got apostles, prophets, and that kind of thing filling in the void. The revelation, he got the last of it, the completion of it, in prison after the close of the book of Acts. Yeah, Jeremy.
So glad you asked that question. I was on the same lines. When you brought up Corinthians to start, is he transitioning at that point?
Yes. He's getting revelation. He tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians about that thorn in the flesh, and the purpose of it was lest he should be exalted above measure for the abundance of the revelations. And he says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So he's in those Corinthian epistles. He's got the mystery. Or he's got some of it, because he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but there's a lot of stuff he doesn't have yet. So you're in that Acts period, he's receiving that revelation over that 30 years or so.
And so then, 25 years. With what you're going through, the Philippians part, by that time when he's talking about perfecting, he's got it.
He's in prison, and the Acts period is over, Israel has been cast away, and he's got it. He's got it all, yeah. Yeah. Now, whether he, what that timeline was in prison for him as far as the very last revelation he got from the Lord, we don't know. But generally, what you see is that split. The Acts epistles and then the post-Acts epistles. In the post-Acts epistles, that's where you get it all. Ephesians, Colossians, those books. Philippians. Yeah.
Is there significance to the ordering?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. There's all sorts of kind of logical progression and reasons why the epistles are in the order that they're in. Yeah. Because you've got Thessalonians there at the end of the church epistles, which are probably the first epistles he wrote. They're at the end of the church epistles, not because of their chronology, but because of their subject matter. They're about the coming of Christ. So you put that at the end, just like Revelation is at the end for the Hebrew believers. Yeah.
That's what I
yeah.
Question,
yeah.
Why is Thessalonians
done like that? Yeah, right. There's a doctrinal progression. Paul talks about Scripture being profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. And the Pauline epistles run that way. Romans is doctrine, Corinthians is reproof, Galatians is correction, Ephesians is doctrine again, and it goes like that. You get the doctrine of the second coming in Thessalonians, and we all get caught up and we don't need the correction and the reproof anymore. So that's, the end of the church epistles. Yeah, Dwayne.
I was reading a publication about that was drawing a contrast between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace.
Mm.
And it was showing that the gospel of the kingdom was more of a social gospel, and that the gospel of grace was more to the individual. And I thought about that when you were showing he was showing the scriptures where Christ was telling these people to sell their thing. That's kind of like a social thing.
Share everything in common, yeah. Yeah.
Share everything in common. In the socialism, that social gospel.
Mm. Right.
This showed that that contrast with the gospel of grace to the individual.
Yeah.
God deals with the individual.
It's kind of a group. You're dealing with that nation, yeah, as a whole, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Brady.
I'll read 15. He said, "Let us therefore, as men, us be perfect." To me, that thing about us that been in the gospel long, that a full grown, what you have already learned and attained through Paul telling them to hold fast to that, and those that who don't, who are getting there, God will reveal it to them if you just keep walking and showing them where to go. It'll be revealed to them like it was to you.
Yep. Yep. And be no more children, right?
Be no more children.
Yeah, gotta be perfect. Yeah. Amen. All right. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.